Does Governor Walker deserve re-election or not? That's the question that we want you to answer during this half hour as we discuss the results from the Wisconsin Public Radio St. Norbert College survey. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up now on 6:37 on this Thursday, October the 24th. We are releasing and discussing the results of the Wisconsin Public Radio St. Norbert College Fall of 2013 survey. And we are welcoming your answer to this question. Does Governor Walker deserve to be reelected or not? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page and tell us why, too. Civilly, please. Our guest is Wendy Scattergood, Assistant Professor of Political Science at St. Norbert College in De Pere and Associate at the St. Norbert College Strategic Research Institute. So, Wendy, what did our survey say?
Well, 46% think that the governor should be reelected, and 49% said that he should not, with 6% not sure. So slightly ahead for the nose, but that's well within the error margin. So basically what we can say about that is right now, in terms of reelecting the governor, it's pretty much a dead heat.
Yeah, that's interesting, though, so it is within the margin of error. I was going to say he has, though, the 50% approval rating, yet, it's certainly not a clear cut with should he be reelected. But,
right. Well, what's interesting about that, right, so if you just look at within the sample, so we're not which the error margin is about generalizing to the population. So, but if we just look in, why is that, even amongst our sample, that the right direction is 50%, approval rating for Walker is 56%, and yet his, re-election within the sample is only 46%. And so, what's interesting here is a party identification issue, and that is, 86% of Republicans think that he should be reelected, but, it's 14% saying that he shouldn't.
Of Republicans?
Yeah, which is, there are some Republicans there, not a huge margin, but 14% of Republicans say that he should not be reelected. And one of the things I looked at, just out of curiosity, we talked about yesterday of one of the approval ratings we asked about was the Republican members of Congress who, adhere to sort of Tea Party principles. And I think this is where it's coming from. Is that people, the 83% of those who strongly approve of the Tea Party think that he should be reelected. But, of course, there's that 17% of the strong approvals of the Tea Party that think he should not be.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about that 50% approval rating a little bit more. That's usually what I hear is good news. At least you don't want to have an incumbent, anybody under 50%. But that figure did drop from a 52% approval rating from the last couple of springs. In our survey, is he sitting okay considering he's up for re-election next year, or should he be a little concerned?
Well, I think, again, that's well within the error margins, and that we talked about before with the direction of the state, that there's sort of that rocky start in fall of 11. There was only 38% approval rating, but since the spring of 12, he's been really holding steady at that low and 50% mark. So I would really say that he's been holding steady over the last, sort of year and a half here. But just by comparison, at this same point in Doyle's administration of his first term, at this point, his approval rating was 64%.
All right.
So, and I would say that it's not necessarily, I don't think that's necessarily about Walker. I think that the time that we're in, like, everybody's approval ratings across the board are, national, state, are quite a bit lower. The state legislature is quite a bit lower than it was at that time period. I was looking back, we said the budget and taxes is down at 13%, and typically that's been higher. Our high of the most important problem for that was 54% in the spring of 2003. I'm like, what was going on in 2003? I can't remember. And so I looked back at Doyle's approval rating when everyone was like, yeah, the budget and taxes are the biggest issue. His approval rating was 68%. And the legislative approval rating was 49%. So even though that was a big issue for people, they still, I don't know, it seems like they were felt like they were sort of working it out. But I think people are thinking, you know, that they aren't working together as much. And I think that's pulling everybody down, both Democrats and Republicans.
Well, numbers aside, and certainly they'll play into the answer to this question, but with your political scientist hat on, what does Governor Walker have going for him right now in terms of strengths as a candidate, and what might be some of the liabilities?
Mm-hmm. Well, certainly that he's holding pretty steady in his approval ratings is a good sign. The right direction numbers holding steady also is a good sign. I think one of the big things, and we know that people's perception of the economy is a huge factor in their vote choice. And so what we're seeing is holding steady compared to last spring, but it's definitely improved from where it was. And if we look at, you know, the same or better, we're looking at 73% saying that. Those are all really good signs for him. Also, I would point out the independents. So, again, while our Democrats and Republicans are kind of canceling each other out, if you will, assuming that they turn out in the numbers that they are responding, that it's going to be the independents that are going to determine it. And right now, actually, 46% of independents think that he deserves reelection, and 38% think that he does not, with 16% not sure yet. So, again, if all of those trends, particular with the economy and the independents, seeing that as their factor there, that I think that actually bodes well for the governor in terms of reelection.
We had a caller who couldn't wait through news who was saying, "What's so good about the direction the state is going? We're not anywhere near the 250,000 jobs that the governor promised he would create in his first term. How might that play into the election?"
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly our number one issue, and that's what everybody in that category is talking about. It's jobs in general, particularly high-paying jobs. So, you know, while that number of how many jobs are you bringing in is going to be important, and particularly because he made such, you know, there was so much publicity about that campaign promise that could potentially hurt him. But I think it's interesting that the people who are answering the biggest problem are really, a lot of them are talking about high-paying jobs. They're not just like, don't just create any jobs. We want to see that these are jobs that people can really actually live off of.
Well, we are going to take some calls in just a moment. People who have an answer to the question that we posed in our latest Wisconsin Public Radio St. Norbert College survey, that being whether or not we think the governor should be reelected or not. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can find our survey results on wpr.org, or we also posted them on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine talking with Wendy Scattergood. She's an assistant professor of political science at St. Norbert College in De Pere. She is our analyst for the Wisconsin Public Radio St. Norbert College survey. She is an associate at the St. Norbert College Strategic Research Institute. 1-800-642-1234. If you'd like to answer the question, should Governor Walker be reelected or not, and why? Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our first caller is going to be Chris in Lake Geneva. Hi, Chris.
Hi. I got to say that I was originally a fan of Scott Walker's, but got soured on him. However, if the Democrats would ever get a viable, you know, moderate candidate themselves, I would flip. But they never do. Every single candidate they throw up in a state election is wildly liberal. I mean, we can't get a pro-gun Democrat. Why can't we get a pro-business Democrat? Just one of those things.
Yeah, you don't think that former truck executive Mary Burke is pro-business, Chris?
No. No Democrat that wins the Democratic primaries in a statewide election is going to be moderate enough to be palatable. I mean, the only reason I didn't vote against Scott Walker in the recall was because they went with Tom Barrett again. And he wasn't any more attractive the second time around. It was like leftover soup, or not even leftover soup. It was like, I don't know, leftover salad. Well, wilted and icky.
Well, Chris, thank you. This gives us an opportunity to also talk about the recent announcement that former Trek bicycle executive Mary Burke, she was also a Commerce Secretary under the Doyle administration, and she is on the Madison School Board, announced that she's going to challenge Walker for governor. This week, of all things, Progressives United, which is Russ Feingold's PAC, his political action committee, did endorse Mary Burke, even though a lot of Democrats who are on the progressive wing of the Democratic Party didn't think she was progressive enough. Your thoughts, Wendy Scattergood, on whether how tough an opponent do you think that Mary Burke may be for Governor Walker?
Well, I think at this point she's got a lot to do in terms of name recognition. So I think that's going to be her primary factor here. And she's also going to have to compete against people's assessment of the economy, because we know that's such a big factor in people's vote choice of looking back at the incumbent. If they see that the economy is going in the right direction and that they are optimistic about it continuing, they're going to want to stick with the incumbent rather than sort of take their chance with somebody they don't know.
Mm-hmm. A comment on our caller's comment that he would vote for a Democrat if the Dems put forward a moderate, pro-gun Democrat.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think, you know, what he pointed out about the primaries is exactly right, and that's partially what happens, is that in order to win a primary for other Republicans or Democrats, the people who vote in primaries tend to be more ideological than the general election voter, who tend to be more moderate. And so this is at the national level, but also at the state level, of course, so you've got to be, you know, more extreme in a sense to win the primary, but then you've got to come back into the middle more to win the general. And this is, again, that the independents, I just can't stress enough that how important they are, and that every time that we've done this survey and every issue that we've covered over the years, it's, you know, the independents coming in right down the middle between the Democrats and Republicans, and they really are a moderate force in the state that can change the outcomes of elections. But, you know, candidates are stuck in that rock and a hard place between trying to win the primary and then sort of come back to a more moderate stance to win the general.
Yeah, any comment on the controversy among progressives over whether the Democratic Party should be endorsing Burke right now or wait until we know who's all running for the Democratic nomination for governor? State Senator Kathleen Vinehout is, I think, probably the most prominent Democrat that's being mentioned as possibly running. What are the advantages of it's not only Progressives United that backed Burke now, but it's the Democratic Governors Association, the Democratic Party, I don't think has verbally said so, but they think she's the front runner and seem to be backing her. What's the advantage of getting behind one candidate right now?
Yeah, well, certainly, again, getting that, because, you know, that when you've got an incumbent, you've got a much tougher road ahead of you in terms of the campaign. And so starting early, which with those endorsements then sort of gives people, particularly different PACs and individuals, to say, oh, okay, so this is a legitimate candidate. Let's start doing some fundraising, because they've certainly got to get on the ball and make sure that they've get that fundraising moving. And so that's one of the reasons why. It is a little bit surprising that the, you know, Feingold's PAC has already endorsed her when there isn't even anybody has declared officially for the field yet. And, you know, you and I had this discussion over email about whether we should ask, mm-hmm. you know, the matchup between Walker and Burke, and I, you know, I'm kind of opposed to the permanent campaign. I just, you know, as a political scientist, not just a pollster, but a, you know, that idea that all we're talking about is, you know, sort of who's ahead in the polls, and you know, I want to make sure that we're talking about issues and that, you know, getting away from that sort of horse race kind of thing, especially because nobody else is in the race right now. I think that having that focus on her in particular, then it is going to winnow down the field before it even starts. And that's not a really good thing for democracy, I think.
Well, we probably will have that on our survey next spring or certainly next fall.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. When we're actually in the campaigning season. Yeah, we would definitely
will. Jim in Kewaunee is with us. Hello, Jim.
Good morning, Joy and Wendy. I think the governor should not deserve another term.
Why
because
not?
Because what he's done to the disabled, the most vulnerable people in the state, to Badger Care and to Medicaid transportation, by bringing in a company from Missouri that's called MTM that's being sued for fraud in that state, and we run out LogistiCare, which was a private company, and replaced it in August with this new company, and it's causing just tremendous problems. And I think what he's done to the people, taking away local government control, your county, to help run your transportation for their residents in their counties, to a private company is one of the worst things that happened.
All right, Jim. Thanks very much. I'm not familiar with that specific item. Are you, Wendy?
No. There were actually a couple of people that mentioned the issue of sort of losing local government control, though. That did come up, and I kind of put that in the government dissatisfaction because they were talking about that sort of taking power away from the people, but also from some of the local governments. And, you know, there's some other issues about that. You know, if we look at the mining bill, for example, of where, you know, the royalties, the tax revenue used to all go to the local government. Mm-hmm. Now it's being shared with the state. And I think there's some other issues with regard to that maybe that overall sentiment or feeling that some of the local governments are not having as much power as they used to.
Yeah, and certainly there have been stories in the news about the dropping of people from Badger Care or you know, not accepting federal Medicaid expansion money that likely will be issues in the gubernatorial campaign.
Yeah, and I was kind of surprised that health care was so low as the number one problem. But again, they can only say one thing, and so maybe that's the second most important problem. But it certainly didn't come in as the number one. Only 2% said that health care issues were the number one problem facing the state, and definitely you saw the Medicaid issue was part of that discussion.
Mm-hmm. Troy in Muskego. Hi, Troy.
Hello. Yes, I do not think he should be reelected. And the main reason I think that is because I feel he's done nothing for the working man. I think everything he's done is a typical example of our government shutdown right now, where he's aligned himself with corporations and business owners and broke unions.
We're losing you, Troy. Do you see that being an issue in the campaign, Wendy? The, you know, for the rich and not for the poor kind of a thing.
Yeah, I think both in a number of ways this sort of came up. We saw, you know, 1% of respondents talking about poverty and hunger and income inequality as being the most important problem. And then we also saw a number of people, 3% of respondents, thinking the biggest problem facing the state is actually the union, of taking away the rights for the union. In addition to that, within the education category, most of the comments in that, and that was 7% of our respondents, most of theirs were about teachers not being supported. So that all of those are kind of related. And then in the economy and jobs category, there was, again, a lot about we need more manufacturing jobs, we need more high-paying jobs, the sense that maybe while there is being some job creation, it's not particularly the kinds of jobs that people actually want to, you know, make their careers of.
Stephanie on Facebook writes, "We have the best governor in the nation." So there are certainly very, very strong supporters of Governor Walker as well. And we saw that in the survey, too.
Yeah, 21% strongly approve, and that is very high. Typically, you know, a lot of people would be in the agree category as opposed to the strongly agree category. Of course, there's a lot of people in the strongly disagree category, too. So while if we looked at the state legislature, most of them are in that, you know, more moderate agree-disagree category, we see a lot more polarization. But, yeah, he has some very, very strong supporters.
Yeah, the governor, there's speculation that he has his eye on a run for the presidency, and this week an excerpt from his book, Unintimidated, came out. Is a speculated run for president, would that help or hurt a sitting governor?
Well, to the extent that getting that national recognition and people saying, you know, this kind of sentiment that the Facebook post said, you know, is that this is someone who's sort of prominent in the nation. You know, so if we take like Chris Christie, you know, who has a big, you know, national representation, that certainly helps his popularity at home. And I think we could see that here as well.
Well, we will have you stand by, Wendy, and talk to you in our next hour about more results from the Wisconsin Public Radio St. Norbert College survey. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.